Were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, may many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies, that they will be like his glorious body. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, as we are gathered here this morning, we come from the week that has been and the week that will be. And in this transitory time, Lord, of the week that has been and the week that will be, we pray that you speak to us. We pray that you will inject a little bit of yourself into us, that we will think your thoughts, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. And Lord, right from the outset, we want to claim that we are a stubborn people. We are a blind people. We need your light. Show us your light, Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the people said, Amen. So in the 2007 film, The Bucket List, two terminal ill men, played by Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman, take a road trip to do the things they always said they would do before they kicked the bucket. In anticipation of the film's release, Nicholson was interviewed for an article in Parade magazine. And while reflecting his personal life, Jack said this: I used to live so freely. The mantra for my generation was, be your own man. I always said, hey, you can have whatever rules you want. I'm going to have mine. I accept the guilt. I'll pay the check. I'll do the time. I'll choose my own way. That was my philosophical position well into my 50s. As I gotten older, I've had to adjust. But reality has a way of getting attention of even a Jack Nicholson. Later in the interview, Jack says this: we all want to go on forever, don't we? We fear the unknown. Everyone goes to that wall, yet nobody knows what's on the other side. That's why we fear death. As I have gotten older, I've had to adjust. So Jack Nicholson says that he understands the limitations of what this life has to offer. He says that he wishes he could go on forever, but he cannot. And he's very honest when he says, we fear the unknown. That's why we fear death. And so, as the Apostle Paul writes this letter to the Philippians, which Debbie has read with us and for us, he is aware of some people in the Philippian church who only focus on this life and what this life has to offer. And Paul doesn't mince his words. He does see the limitations of what this life has to offer. And he uses strong words to criticize the people in the Philippian church who only focus on this life. He goes to the extent of calling them the enemies of the cross of Christ. For as often as I have told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, that many live as the enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But as you read the letter to the Philippians, and I've asked you to read the letter to the Philippians this Lent season so that you get an understanding of what we are trying to accomplish here on a Sunday morning, you will find that Paul may be focusing on the limitations of this life, but he does addresses the problems of this life. And you read about the disunity in the church at Philippi, and how he appeals to two fellow workers, Euodia and Syntyche, to come together because they are breaking the church apart. And now he writes against these false teachers at Philippi who just focus on what this life has to offer. And that's all. However, as you read through the book of Philippians, you will see that Paul is aware that he is the citizen of another country. And he is pressing on toward that goal. And he is constantly doing an inventory of what is in his life. And he puts away what is not required and focuses on what lies ahead, for the price for which God has called him. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Lifestyle consultant Marie Kondo has become a bona fide sensation through her 2011 bestseller, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, and her recently debuted Netflix series, Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. She promotes a method of simplicity through reducing unnecessary clutter, earning praise and money from millions of devoted fans. But Kondo is getting appreciation from another source. Thrift stores receiving a bonanza of unwanted goods. Over a recent weekend, the staff of a used bookstore in Chicago was overwhelmed with 30 boxes of donated books. Their usual haul, 5 or 6. Not only was the quantity unusual, but the customer's attitude was a surprise as well. According to one employee named Barbara, people usually only donate under financial duress. People are not normally cheerful, Barbara said. I swear, people over the weekend were joyful as they gave the stuff to us. A major tenet of the Marie Kondo, is laying your belongings in a giant pile and examining which ones spark a sense of joy. Chicago resident Bridget has first-hand knowledge of how Kondo's method can transform. It releases your attachment from things, Bridget says. My closet has been reduced by 75%. When you see what you own in a pile, you go. I didn't realize the abundance of riches. Apparently, those riches are also going to good causes. Even the Salvation Army is feeling the so-called Kondo effect. I really think 2019 is going to be the year of conscientious, said John, a local administrator. The pursuit of minimalism is alive and very well, and it does benefit the Salvation Army. So I believe that the Kondo effect started in the days of Apostle Paul, because Paul himself takes an inventory of his life, and then when he looks at what is behind him, he forgets what lies behind. He reduces his life to simplicity, and he focuses on to what is ahead. He presses on towards what God has called him for. Paul focuses on heaven. It was the June of last year, and where John is sitting there, I remember having a conversation with Murray at the back of the church. Murray told me that his lung cancer had returned. But in his usual soft-spoken manner, this is what he told me. Don't worry, Pai. I know where I'm going. Philippians 3:20-21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. This is April. Oh, tomorrow is going to be April. Wherever I am in the year, I find myself returning to Christmas. Now, it is not because I'm addicted to the Christmas dinner and the Christmas presents. It is because there is one major Christmas present that is with us the whole year through. Why do we celebrate Christmas? We celebrate Christmas because we celebrate the God who comes down to earth to be with us in the person of Jesus Christ. So at the baptism of Jesus, there's this expression, heaven opens and the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And Paul celebrates the opening of heaven as he writes this part of Philippians 3. Because Paul says that it is not he, Paul, who finds Christ, but Christ who finds Paul. Heaven opens. Christ comes down from heaven and finds Paul. And Christ grabs Paul on the Damascus road. Christ sets Paul on the course for heaven. Christ now calls Paul heavenwards. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. So, I just want to be more honest here. What is heaven? Is it a pie in the sky proposition when we die? Is it just merely a place we go to after we leave this earth? Is it just above us and we are on earth down below? Because very often, heaven is presented as something above us and we are earthly creatures down below. I want to say right from the outset today that heaven is heaven not because it is a place. Heaven is heaven because of a person who lives there. Heaven is heaven because because it is where God is. Heaven is heaven because it is God's home. Therefore, when Paul says that our citizenship is in heaven, it is because we belong to a home. We belong to a home that we are waiting for. We belong to this home. We do not belong here. We belong to that home that Christ has prepared for us. And that home that Christ has prepared for us, it is not so much that there'll be streets of pearly gold and gold doors or whatever the images that have been given to us. It is because when we go to heaven, we will be with God. And that is why it is called heaven. We will be physically with God. So this brings me back to Christmas. Where does Christ come from? Remember, God becomes a man. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. At Christmas time, we celebrate a God coming down in the person of Jesus Christ to be with us. When Jesus comes, He brings heaven with Him. When Jesus comes, He brings heaven with Him. When Jesus comes, He brings the very presence of God with Him to be with us. Jesus is God bringing heaven to us. So again, why did God need to do that? Or should I say, when does heaven really start for us? Do we talk about heaven as a place to go to when we die? Is that our entirely our concept of heaven? Father Damien was a priest who became famous for his willingness to serve lepers. He moved to Kalawao, a village on the island of Molokai in Hawaii that had been quarantined to serve as a leper colony. For 16 years, he lived in their midst. He learned to speak their language. He bandaged their wounds. He embraced the bodies no one could touch, preached to hearts that would otherwise have been left alone. He organized schools, bands, and choirs. He built homes so that the lepers could have shelter. He built 2,000 coffins by hand so that when they died, they could be buried with dignity. Slowly, it was said, Kalawao became a place to live rather than a place to die. For Father Damien offered hope. Father Damien was not careful about keeping his distance. He did nothing to separate himself from his people. He dipped his fingers in the poi bowl along with the patients. He shared his pipe. He did not always wash his hands after bandaging open sores. He got close for this. The people loved him. And then one day on a Sunday, he stood up and began his sermon with these two words. We lepers. We lepers. Now he wasn't just helping them. Now he was one of them. From this day forward, he wasn't just on their island. He was in their skin. First, he had chosen to live as they lived. Now he would die as they died. Now they were in it together. And that's why Christmas is important. God comes down to earth, and this was His message. We lepers, or we human beings. He wasn't just coming to be with us and enjoying His time like it was summer camp. God becomes one of us because He wants to be in our skin. and he wants to be in it together. And so, therefore, Jesus brings a real foretaste of heaven. He lives with us to bring heaven to us. He lives with us to bring God to us. So, I'm going to present an idea that I hope you'll take home with you. Heaven does not begin when we die. Heaven begins when God at Christmas time comes down to be with us, to live in our skin, and he brings heaven with him. And so that is why Paul can say, I now press on towards the goal for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus, because God coming down at Christmas time has started me on a journey. And one day I know that when I leave this earth, I will be with God in heaven. But heaven is not something that we just dream about now. Heaven starts now, because when God comes and helps us in our time of need and when we pray for him, it's all a foretaste of heaven. It is all what God is intending to do in our lives, so that one day we will be with him eternally. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. So, Father, we now like to say that when you came down to this earth, you came down to be one of us. And so as we go on through the struggles of life, and as we cry to you when we have so many difficulties of life, we know that you've been there before, because you became a human being like us. And you have started us for a cause in which one day we will meet with you again. And Lord, there are some of us who have lost loved ones in the last year. And we know, because of their faith in you, that we know where they are. Thank you that they are now at peace. And we pray, Lord, that as we go on through the hell of this life, that we will know that heaven is with us, and that God is preparing us for a time when we will be with him, and that we will be with others who have gone ahead of us to be with you. So give us this hope as we move on in this life. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the people said, Amen.